And a good Friday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5 The Game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, back in the studio on the ones and twos. JoJo, what's up?
Oh, man, we're having a good day out here at Reunion Township at 109, doing a nice little remote. We are proud partners with them. And we're just kind of enjoying our day until we all perish tonight when this weather comes.
Yeah, well, we'll be all right.
Praying that it's just rain and some wind, and that's it. We've been through this enough.
It's just a little wind. It's still good.
Right?
I feel like every time you and I are about to go to Key West, that's when
something
weather
happens,
is.
Right? I mean, something happens. So hopefully our plane's been delayed on Sunday getting out of Nashville.
No, our flight's been canceled.
That's okay. Try to be nice about it. But we'll worry about that on down the road. And before that, we have a nice show planned for today. So we're excited where we are at Reunion Township out here nestled between Mount Juliet and Lebanon. And we'll talk more about that later on throughout the show.
Yep. So we're excited, and thank you to them for having us here today. I've got a great show plan coming up at 12:30. Speaking of the weather, we're going to talk to the official meteorologist of the Chase and Big Joe Show,
yes,
Katie Morgan from Fox 17.
Can't wait.
She's going to kind of let us know what's going on, because there are still some high school football games scheduled for tonight.
There are
a lot played last night, but some did not, and so kind of keep you updated on that as the playoffs have started in the TSSAA. 1 o'clock, Chris Sanders for our usual conversation with them. The Big Red won last night, so good for them. And then 2:30, Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators, as they get ready to head to Sweden.
Hope he's packed, right? Ready to go?
Oh, I'm sure he is.
And then they're on the – when's that game? Next Friday?
The first one is next Friday, so we won't have a show next Friday because it'll be during our show. And then the second game is Sunday morning with coverage beginning at 7.
Nice. Nice. They're a few hours ahead of us over there in Sweden, right?
So breakfast with the Preds.
Well done there. Yeah. So good for them, man. They have a game. They played last night. They get the Rangers Saturday.
No, Monday.
Monday.
Yep. The Stars tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. So tomorrow will be the last home game before the Sweden trip.
Okay. Nice.
So, yeah, looking forward to it. Going to be fun. And then a big weekend of college football. The Titans are off.
Titans are off week.
Yep.
Don't you dare say it.
The awful week.
It's not a bye week. I don't want the wrath of Joe Rexroad explaining to us again that it's not the bye week. It's an off week.
So you're buying into what Mr. Rexroad is selling there.
Because he is correct.
Yeah.
So it could be cool or it could be correct. I'd rather be correct.
Yeah.
And Joe's correct. So they're not on a bye week. They're on an off week.
Okay, yeah, I'm good with it.
Did I tell you the story about the bye week, about the word bye, B-Y-E? Did I ever tell you this?
No.
There used to be a thing in Nashville, and y'all remember this, a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. All ages, all people from around the country would come in here. It's like Music City Hoops 3-on-3, and we always played in it. So one team, their name was bye, B-Y-E. This is a true story. So when Chase McCabe's team would go and show up and see who they're playing – well, you got to buy. You didn't show up. So they made it all the way to the semifinals of this one of the top groups, because the team would see who they're playing and it'd be a buy.
And it would be a forfeit.
Be a forfeit. It was so ingenious.
What was this?
The Music City Hoops 3-on-3 back in the mid-90s.
Oh,
we played it where the Hilton Hotel is right now in downtown Nashville. But if y'all remember this, it was amazing because it was B-Y-E. You pull up and like, oh, we got to buy in the first round. And finally, they went all the way to the semifinals and the team showed up and they had to play. And everybody's like, oh, you can't do it. So they made the rule the next year, like, you can't do that. You can't – your name cannot be BYE.
Oh, yeah, you only get away with that one time.
But it was brilliant.
Oh.
And then they got beat, like, 55-4 in their semifinal game.
So what you're telling me is they weren't good.
They weren't good. But it was just the fact they sit down and put the word BYE in the tournament bracket was amazing. And then so, yeah, it was never allowed again.
That is a fantastic story.
It really is, Pat.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us. But we're excited. Got a big Friday show planned. Do you have a question of the day?
I do. I love it. I'm ready for this one. You ready?
Yep, go ahead.
So we're live today at Reunion Township at 109 out here in Mount Juliet. Great property, apartment homes, lovely. Our question today is, tell us what your first apartment had inside of it. Your first apartment, not your dorm room, not when you bought a house. We all had that first apartment that you look back now and you're like, oh, that was heaven on earth. And at the time, it was like, oh, man. Coach Wells and I got an apartment together when we got out of college. We lived at Nashboro Village.
So not far from the station.
Not far from the station. And we had a Foot Locker with a TV on top of it, two lawn chairs, a coffee table that was made, I think, by Jesus and the disciples. It was that old. And we had our separate bed, and our beds were on the floor. And that was our apartment. That's all we had. So we had two lawn chairs, cable TV, our nice TV on top of a Foot Locker. You know, and ladies would come over and was like, We're like, oh, come on in. Like, no, we're good. I mean, it was a disaster. So what was your first apartment like? How bad? Where was it? How bad was it?
For the MTSU folks listening, mine was at Campus Crossing right next to MTSU. It had just opened. And so it was me and three other people. So there were two guys and two girls all in one apartment.
What?
Yeah, it was the two girls I went to high school with.
Sly dog. You.
And then the guy was one of their cousins. And I mean, that was such a brilliant yet terrible idea all at the same time.
What furniture we have in there? Do we have furniture?
Well, it was furnished, so we had a couch. I mean,
oh, yeah. High life.
Yeah, no, it was good. I think the thing my dad contributed that was, I think I was the only one that used it, but, you know, I like to grill, and obviously I couldn't have a grill at the apartment, right. So he got me a stand-up George Foreman that I could use inside.
Oh, my God. So did they ever use it?
No, they did. Oh, they were like, no, what is this? And I'm like, I'm using this.
This sounds like a bad sitcom.
It was.
How long was this, you guys together?
Just a year.
Okay.
Yeah, just a year. Because I didn't, and I kind of looking back on it now, regret it a little bit, but not living with them, but I didn't do the dorm. I didn't stay in the dorm at all.
Okay.
And so kind of wish I had, you know, just to get that experience. But we did the apartment in there, so it was the four of us.
Nice.
And it was.
Let me ask you this. Yeah, was it a four bedroom?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Was your bed on the floor, or was it on a frame?
It was on a frame. I took it off the frame and put it on the floor.
My man. That's how you know you're living the high life. Our beds were on the floor. I mean, there was no – I'm not pulling that stuff in there. I'm just going to throw the mattress on the floor, and that's where it was.
Well, what the layout of each room – because it was kind of set up like a dorm. There was like a common area with a kitchen, and then everybody had their own bedroom with their own bathroom, which was really cool. So,
heck yeah, that
yeah
is.
Right. So, but how it was set up was like you'd walk into my room, the bed's up against the back wall, and there's like a cutout for where a desk goes.
Yeah.
I reversed that. I put the bed like in the little cutout
nice.
On the floor. It was like a little cubby hole for a bed. And then I put the desk up against the wall. I mean, like it was. Who knows what was growing in there because you
right.
know how it is. Like everything just goes on the floor.
Everything.
Like you don't put anything in the dresser was completely empty.
Oh yeah, weighs 8,000 pounds. Yeah. That's why I like the apartments here at Union Township. I'm like, this would have been like the Taj Mahal. It is now, but back then to where we lived, night and day. And it's like, man, they've come so far. I mean, resort living back then,
yeah.
was don't burn the lawn chair with a cigar. That was it, man.
Jay from Laverne said, I bet you had some lit parties, Chase. I think the statute of limitations is up on
hell
these.
Yeah,
so,
dude, yeah, man.
Yeah, there might have been a few.
That's our question next week. The greatest party you ever threw.
We did. There was, I mean, it was, you know, we'd been there for a few months. I think it was Halloween is what it was. And we had 50 people in that freaking apartment.
Heaven.
And I would kind of go to my room and like chill because there's just like a ton of people. And I hear somebody yell, the cops are here. I'm like, uh-oh. And I just go, I'm just kind of chilling, read the book.
In your room? Yeah. Smart. See, those are the days.
I don't think they ever actually came. But
well, 50 people. How the hell do you get an apartment with four bedrooms and four baths?
I don't know. That's the way they were set up.
That right there is pretty special.
Yeah, no, it was nice.
For you, man. It should be. So, yeah, let us know, 615-737-1025. Call or text. We want to hear this.
Let's see. I'm trying to read. Nevada Josh said, bed bugs, moved out a week later. Worst experience ever.
I knew where Jimbo Fisher used to keep all the liquor in his apartment. We'd go take his liquor from him.
That's another funny story.
At Sanford, we would do that. That was many years ago.
So I finally, some almost 20 years later, told my mom this story. So we're moving in, and I don't know why I did this because this was stupid, but I had a box that I put liquor in that that someone had bought for me at the time. And I put the sheets over it, put the bed sheets over it.
All right.
Okay. Good hiding place, but hey, idiot, you know, your parents are helping you move in. Your mom probably is going to want to make your bed, right?
That's what moms do.
Right. So, of course, and my buddy Logan's with me, and she goes, hey, where are the sheets? And I'm like, uh-oh. So I'm like, hey, distract her. Let me get the sheets and move this stuff. And my dad, not knowing what is going on, and dad was, you know, mom would have been mad at me. Dad would have been like laughing. And dad's like, yeah, where are the sheets? And I'm like, shut up. Like, oh, I'll make it later. Don't worry about it. And he's like, well, your mama wants to make your bed. And he's getting mad.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, stop it. Just let it go.
How much liquor did you have in this box?
Not a lot. I had like 2 bottles.
Not a lot. Good Lord, man.
But so my dad gets mad and is like, I'm leaving. And you deal with him and all this stuff. And so I finally get the sheets, hide the box, throw them to my mom. I run outside. I'm like, will you calm down? And he's like, well, you're being a jerk. And I go, because I had booze hidden, you idiot.
Oh, man. Did your mom make the bed?
Yeah.
Some moms do.
She did.
If my mom was alive today, she'd be making my bed. I guarantee you. That's what moms do. They live to make beds. That's it. So, yeah.
Yeah, so Jay and Laverne's like, we probably partied together back in the day. We probably did. Who knows?
I remember faces, not names.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I don't even remember faces.
We just didn't remember any of that stuff.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your first apartment, what was in it? That is –
And where was it?
And where was it? So that was – we'll keep that coming. Our question of the day is presented by – Aries Tactical, your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. We'll have more coming from Lebanon today at Reunion Township here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. Devin and Dixon says those 2 bottles of liquor probably didn't make it through that first night, right? I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I'll just confirm it now.
The question is yes.
Our buddy Chip Walter says he lived at Nottingham across from Murphy Center.
Yeah, I know that one.
But Chip, we need more description of your apartment, the first apartment you lived in.
I bet Chip was a partier back in the day.
Of course he was. He's from Columbia, right, Chip? You're listening. We got this. I mean, your first apartment, I mean, that's your like, ah, the world is mine. And you look back and realize, and we had 2 lawn chairs. And a TV on a footlocker, and we thought we were at the White House, man. That was the greatest thing ever. I won't tell you how we got cable for free, because I think I might get in trouble for that. It's been 30 years, though. Should I be good for that?
I think so.
Okay. Well, it's a story best off air.
Yeah.
I'll tell
you. I was about to ask. I'm like, wait a minute. You had this set up and you had cable.
Not how Homer got free cable when he bribed the cable man, but this is something different with that being said. So it's good stuff. See, this is what happens when the football team has an open week and then we get that
off week and they're terrible and nobody wants to talk about them. And they're not.
But, you know, I'm really looking forward to the Vanderbilt-Auburn game. I'll be on the MTSU call tomorrow as they take on FIU. But I'll keep an eye on the Vanderbilt-Auburn game just because Vanderbilt has it in their hands. And all too often throughout history, we've seen the Vanderbilt football team have it in their hands and then not get it done. So hopefully tomorrow. They knock Auburn out, they'll knock Kentucky out, and then they go to Knoxville in 3 weeks to take on Tennessee, and that's the game.
By the way, Fox Sports has finally broken their silence, and I know you're really shocked to hear this, but they said, quote, "We can confirm that Mark Sanchez is no longer with the network. There will be no further comment at this time," end quote.
Better hope that message wasn't delivered by a 68-year-old man, because Mark Sanchez will go after him. What a stupid story.
It's so bad. And they hired Drew Brees, so Brees will basically be the replacement.
That's fine. I mean, Mark Sanchez had a golden opportunity that he ruined for, I guess he was drunk and everything else. I mean, it was just, he had it in his hand. I hope he gets the help he needs.
Yeah. Well, I do too. I mean, he did, I thought he did a good job, but obviously just couldn't get out of his own way, which seems to be the case for a lot of people these days.
It is.
Unfortunately.
It is doing. Yeah, you're right. But, yeah, Chip has weighed in. He lived in that apartment complex with three guys from DuPont High School. Oh, nice. God. Too bad Febreze wasn't admitted back then. we would have owned every bottle around if Febreze would have been back when we were.
So what you and Walt lived together, was Walt coaching?
Yeah, he was part-time coaching. He was a scout for Smyrna High School. So he would go out and scout for Smyrna, the upcoming opponent, and then he got to Cumberland, got to Eastern Kentucky, then it took off after that.
Nice. And what were you doing?
Let's see here. ruining a marriage, drinking quite a bit, not knowing what was going on. I had a driveway sealing company that did pretty well. I did it by myself.
Nice.
Went out and sealed your driveway. I'm telling you, thank you, Jesus, because the broken road ends up getting on a smooth path. And so.
And you ended up, is that when you ended up going back to middle?
Yep.
Okay.
I took 67 hours in a year and graduated.
Good
Lord. Going to college at 27 as opposed to 19 and 20, it's a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Because, like, party tonight. And at 27, you're like, I'm in bed. But I was working over, and I was loading trucks from 10 o'clock at night to 6 in the morning. Then I would leave there and go to middle. I'd slept probably 3 or 4 hours a day.
Jeez.
I'm telling you, man, if you want to get it done, you'll get it. Well, we have Chris Sanders on at 1 o'clock. We talk about just when you get there, keep working. But you got to get there. And so I was going to keep working. Nobody was going to tell me no. And that's the way it should be for anybody else. The only person that should tell you no in your life, you're trying to attain something, is yourself.
Yep.
That's it.
100%. 615-737-1025. Is Tennessee off this?
They are.
Yeah. So just Vandy.
Yep. And they got Tennessee's got Sam Houston. And then in 2 weeks, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
If Tennessee loses that Florida game, Vanderbilt beats them in Knoxville. Because you'll be sitting there at 7-4, Tennessee, and you're out of everything. And you could talk all day long about how you're going to knock Vanderbilt out. But once if Florida beats Tennessee, Vandy beats Tennessee. Vanderbilt beats Tennessee.
Here's what I'm curious of. Is there a point, because, you know, this is it for Aguilar. Aguilar was going to be a one and done. Does there become a point where you got to start looking at what's next?
Not right now.
Do they look at, you know, McIntyre or Merklinger?
No, I know. I mean, you got to eventually, but I think maybe that's what the bowl might be for. If you get, you'll be in a bowl game, but I think you ride him right now. He's your best option and get it done. And you'll beat Sam Houston next week. And at Sam Houston, I'd do Aguilar in the first quarter. Get out to a 14-21-0 lead, then throw your backup in and let McIntyre or Merklinger do that. And then alternate those guys, and you play. Then you go to Florida, then you got Vanderbilt. But I think next week could be a proving ground for those two guys. But I'm telling you, you got to do something in Florida you haven't done since 2003, and that's
beat them in the swamp. You already know that Spurrier. I guarantee you, a Steve Spurrier quote is going to come out that week.
Sure it is.
He's going to say something because he loves taking pot shots at Tennessee.
And he's a native Tennessean, which is even funny.
So what was it? Did Tennessee not recruit him well enough?
I don't know. I mean, I think he won the Heisman in 67 or 68, right in there.
But I always wondered that, of why he chose Florida over Tennessee.
Maybe they didn't play baseball. There's a factor there that allowed him to go down there. You know, him and the late Joe Biddle, I think they went to high school together. They grew up together and all that stuff. But I can't stand Spurrier because he quit on South Carolina. I cannot stand him. But I will say he had a very funny quote at the start of the season about Arch Manning. which still makes me laugh. He's, if Arch Manning was so damn good, how come he backed up a seventh-round draft choice for the Dolphins
and Quinn Ewers? I will tell you, at SEC Media Days, I think it was the last time it was in Birmingham, he was there, like, for something. Oh, and it wasn't announced. Like, he literally just walked on Radio Row. And you would have thought that, like, Tiger Woods walked on, because literally everybody looks and you just see everybody scattering and forming around him, and he's just like how are we doing, you know, just going, and he just kind of plopped down and talked to a few stations, and you know, he kind of did like a media scrum, and I got right next to him. And I was like, Coach, you know, what are you up to? And he's like, oh, you know, just wanted to say hi to everybody. Just figured I'd come down here and see what's going on.
Coming down here. And then who was it that we had on was – oh, Tony Barnhart was like his best friend. And they got all this stuff planned together and everything. And I was like, okay, all right, well, that's good. Have fun with him. But I'm not – yeah, he's a great coach, and I get all that. But he quit on a football team.
You keep saying Sam Houston. They play New Mexico State. Middle play Sam Houston.
Jeez Louise. I've said that this week like 8 times. Thank you. Tennessee plays New Mexico State. That's it. Thank you. They can take all their – that's Pavia's former home. And then Middle finishes the season with New Mexico State.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Got a lot going on, man. Our flight's canceled to Florida.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I'm nervous.
Evan says, can't wait for UF versus UT. Going there with my wife for our 5-year anniversary. I'm a Florida fan. She's a Tennessee fan.
Nice. Evan, tell us
about – you might not make it to 6 depending on how that game goes.
Tell us about your first apartment there, buddy. That's what we want to know about.
Matthew in Nashville, isn't Florida going to honor Mr. Fake Heart Attack Urban Meyer during the Tennessee game?
Are they?
I don't know.
I don't know that. I don't know.
They're probably going to announce that they're hiring him.
When I see him, I was like, oh, man.
You just feel dirty, don't you?
Right. I remember the time he quit Florida. He was going to spend more time with his kid. True story.
Yeah.
And his daughter was playing for North Florida in a volleyball tournament at Lipscomb. And we had a guy call in the show and said, hey, I'm taking tickets here at Lipscomb for this volleyball. Urban Meyer's daughter's on this team. I'm going to go see if he lived up to what he said about spending time with his kids. Didn't show up.
Jeez.
He's like, there's only like 200 people here. Urban Meyer did not show up after he said he's going to spend time. I was like, now that, my friend, is Southern investigating. That's it. You want something done, you hire a Southerner to investigate it, and they'll figure it out. And Urban Meyer did not show up. That was, 12, 13 years ago or so.
Daryl wants to weigh in on Steve Spurrier real quick. Daryl, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
It's my understanding that at somewhere in the timeline that Spurrier's dad was a minister, and he had a job in Florida as a preacher. But it's also my understanding that I don't even think Tennessee recruited him. He's from Science Hill High School in Johnson City, which is where my brother lives. He was actually a really good baseball player too, because they won the state championship his senior year. But I'll hang up and listen. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy. See, we're the best listeners in the world. Thank you, Daryl. Daryl, how was your first apartment you had?
737-1025. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the weather with our friend Katie Morgan from Fox 17. Some bad stuff supposed to come in later, and we'll see how that's going to affect high school football and the weekend. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, live from Reunion Township in Lebanon, here on 1025 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025 The Game on this Friday. We got a little weather coming in this afternoon, and to help us more with that, we say hello to our good friend Katie Morgan from Fox 17. She is the official meteorologist of the Chasing Big Joe show. Katie, how are you?
Hi, good to see you guys, or I guess hear you guys.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing this. So we do a lot of high school football games were played last night, which I think was a smart move. Some are still scheduled for tonight, so kickoff around 7-ish. What can they expect?
Yeah, I think the good news is that the majority of storms should be pushing south of 40 by about 7, 8 o'clock. I wouldn't be surprised if we have some of our area games delayed at the start, because I think we'll still be dealing with some showers and storms. There's a line to our northwest now, so we're starting to see stuff move in up towards the Kentucky-Tennessee border, and that's going to slip south and eastward over the next several hours. But I would say if you're north of 40, that you're probably going to be clearing out by about 8 o'clock, and if you're south of 40, it's going to be closer to 9, 10 o'clock before you're most likely in the clear. The problem is, I think a couple of these storms could be strong to severe, and we're watching for damaging wind as the main threat, and unfortunately the tornado threat's not zero either.
Katie, the more important thing specifically is I'll be at Page High School tonight for a Fox 17 football. How is it going to affect just me? Sorry. Right? How's it going to affect me?
Right. Right. But when is it going to hit my house? That's what we always say.
Right.
And Paige, I think it's going to be the same thing where we're looking at scattered storms through the kickoff time. And then as we get closer to about maybe 9 o'clock, I think hopefully we'll start to clear out there.
Okay.
But it's promising, I would say. Hopefully it'll be in a hit and miss type of situation where you may get lucky. But unfortunately, too, we're going to be dealing with lightning, and lightning's always going to cause delays.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right with that. Okay, here's what I love about you. When you do tornado coverage, severe weather, you pull your little laptop over like you're an urgent care doctor.
I need my laptop. I need my information, you know?
Right. I mean, you do such a good job with that. I'm like, how does she manage to do 19 warnings, run 5 programs, and then you got your little stand there like you're going to tell me that I've got strep throat?
Right. You should see the screen that I've got up. I mean, there's 50 browsers open. I've got 2 phones on that desk as well. I mean, it's a chaotic dance, we'll call it.
So to just kind of reiterate, you're saying the main concern is the straight line winds, but can't rule out tornadoes?
Yeah, we're in that time of year where we get into secondary severe weather season, and it won't take much to see a spin up. But definitely wind will be the main problem for tonight. But just to reiterate, you know, if you hear those sirens go off, you get the alert on your phone, please make sure that you seek shelter right away.
Are you, when you do that, the severe weather, is that your, you're in that zone, right? Because I remember talking to weather people throughout the years, it's kind of like, hey, when severe weather, we're in a zone, and right, that's all we're focused on. So, I mean, you know this well. You do it very well, but you're in that zone, right, when this happens?
Oh, yeah, totally. It is kind of a locked-in. I guess I could liken it to a pitcher on a pitcher mound, you know, how they just sort of lock in for the love of the game, Kevin Costner.
Right.
Know? It's kind of the same thing where your sole focus is to get the information out in a clear and concise manner and make sure that everybody has what they need. And then you're also at the same time sort of running the ship with the newsroom, as a partnership, you know, where you're trying to tell crews where they need to go or talk to your, news director on, you know, other things that need to be done in the newsroom. So it is, it's a lot.
You know, it is. And plus, I don't think people realize how big our viewing area is. I mean, you go all the way to southern Kentucky, way down almost to the border of Alabama, west of the Tennessee River, east up to the Cumberland Plateau. I mean, there is a lot of area that you got to cover. So if it's raining at my house but not raining at yours 30 miles away, it happens all the time, right?
Yeah, it sure does. And, you know, we have over 50 counties in our viewing area. So you hit the nail on the head. It's a lot to cover. You know, that's one of the reasons why I think we have the best weather team in town, with the three of us, Greg Bobas and Brett Luna and I, keeping an eye on things 24/7, 365.
Katie Morgan is with us from Fox 17. So out of this comes our first big cold spell of the season, right?
Boo.
Yeah, sure does. I mean, this is a little unusual just for the timing of it. This is pretty early to see a widespread hard freeze like this. And we haven't had a freeze yet here in Nashville, so this will be our first one. It'll be, I think if there's a silver lining, which I'm always trying to find, it's going to kill the bugs. But no more bugs. I saw some mosquitoes this afternoon, by the way, and I was like, your time is coming, sir.
Yes.
The wind chills. Yeah, right. The wind chills on Monday morning are going to be in the mid to lower teens, and we'll see teens again on Tuesday morning. You know, with Veterans Day parades going on, it's just going to be a cold Monday and Tuesday. And dare I say the F word? I can't rule out some snow showers.
Oh, no, we're going to hang up on you.
This, oh, no.
All right, so again, take us through this afternoon. Give us the timeline. By the way, if people aren't following you on social media, they need to, because you explain things so well and funny, and your reels are great. They should follow you as well. So give us the timeline again for this afternoon.
Sure. So I would say that we're looking at storms developing now, but basically between about 1, 2 o'clock, through about 8, 9 o'clock this evening is going to be that time frame. And it's going to be earlier in the afternoon for those north of 40, and then a little later in the evening for those south of 40. So I wouldn't be surprised if we have a couple game delays due to either lightning or severe weather in the area, heavy rain, damaging winds, maybe even some hail, and unfortunately the potential for a spin-up tornado. So all modes of severe weather are possible. I'd say again, though, this doesn't look to be a big, widespread severe weather event. We'll likely see some scattered storms and a couple severe storms mixed in.
Okay. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I think you just described a forecast in Revelations. So we're going to – I hope that doesn't come to that. But, yeah, this is great. Thank you, Katie.
Of course. Anytime.
Katie, yeah, we appreciate it. And we'll be watching this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Katie Morgan, Fox 17, joining us, and she has been dubbed the official meteorologist of the Chasing Big Joe Show.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge honor. That's a huge honor, because before we didn't have one. Now we got one.
No.
We actually got some respect on the show for once.
That's good.
Well done, buddy.
I mean, Charlie Neese is probably like, what gives? You didn't call me?
He is, right? By the way, let me sell you a house. And then Davis is retired. I mean, and it's on and on and on.
So. Davis was kind of the unofficial, I guess. And
unofficial,
then he retired.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I had some good talks with Davis when I went to challenge with him.
He's a good man.
So smart. I mean, to do weather, you've got to be brilliant.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of just, I mean, it was back in the day, he's pointed a board and he was a chalkboard, and here's the weather now. It's just all that science. And we all know how bad I am at science.
There will be no science and no math.
I bet you were good at science at FRA.
Terrible. Terrible.
Really?
Science and math. Terrible. Okay. Like biology, I hated biology.
So if I play you Trivial Pursuit, it comes down, I get to pick the category, I'm giving you science. Science and nature.
Yeah, you would probably win.
Okay. No, I wouldn't. I'm worse than you are.
Or we would just be at a stalemate the whole time.
You know, the only thing, the only chemistry symbol I ever learned, I remembered, was Fe. You know what that is?
No.
There's a guy that used to work out with us a long time ago. He had a shirt that said Pump F-E.
Iron.
Iron. Yeah. And I was like, that is awesome. Yeah. So when Breaking Bad would do their little opening on the show, like all the symbols.
The elements.
Yeah, elements. I can't remember that. Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, like anything with the periodic table, I was like, when am I ever going to freaking need this? Like that was the.
Right, man.
Like, I don't need this. I don't know what this is. But. Luckily, sophomore biology, I had the greatest teacher, Mrs. Parks, and she, I think she listens to the show some, but she was very patient with me, and I got through that class with a C, and see my friends get degrees.
Oh, good for you, man. We had at McGavick, at biology, you had a table with a partner, so I didn't have, he's partner A, your partner, your B, I didn't know this, so they'd give out tests. Different tests for A and B. You know how I knew this? Because I cheated off my friend Chuck Sparks. True story. And Chuck, I know you're listening. Remember, I used to cheat off Chuck Sparks at McGavick, and then we got our test back. He got 100, and I got a 0. Because that's when I was like, C, B, A, and they got us. True story, man. We all learned the hard way at McGavick High School.
Oh, that is fantastic. With math, you'll appreciate this story. My dad was pretty good at math, and I was like, why are you so good at math? And he said, well, I had a great teacher at BGA. He was a bit of a hard ass, but he's taught me well. You know who his teacher was?
Mike Keith.
Carlton Flatt.
Oh.
Wow. It was before he went to BA.
Really?
Yep. He was an assistant football coach and
what a tie-in. Oh, then that's a cool story. Yeah.
So that was his teacher. We'll have more coming here in Lebanon, Chasing Big Joe, on this Friday, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. I join Chip Baldridge and Big Joe tomorrow as the Blue Raiders take on FIU at 2 o'clock. Pre-game coverage at 12:30. Is that right?
Yes, sir, it is. And we take over at 1:30.
Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3 and also on the Totally Hits Nashville app and TotallyHitsNashville.com. Looking forward to that. A little Heisman talk, because we haven't done this in a while. I have the updated odds entering week 11. Because there's a name that is local that I think should be getting a little more talk. And no, I'm not talking about Diego Pavia. I'm talking about Marcel Reed from Texas A&M, of course. Rod Reed's son went to NBA. Who do you think is the favorite, though, right now?
It's that dude for Ohio State.
Julian Sayin is the favorite at plus 180. Second?
The guy from Indiana.
Mendoza. That is true at plus 220. Third?
Marcel Reed.
He is fourth, plus 650. Ty Simpson is third at plus 350, which I'd say I'm okay with that right now. Then you got longer odds with Gunnar Stockton at plus 2,500. And then there are four players at plus 4,000 that include Ohio State receiver Jeremiah Smith, Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love, Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt, and Trinidad Chambliss from Ole Miss.
Okay, so I like the four that are there. That's good. So here's Marcel Reed. So Ty Simpson's got LSU, what, the Citadel or somebody, and then they finish with Auburn. He's got Texas, right? So he's got to prove himself on the big stage. So he's got Texas, which could set Marcel Reed could separate himself. And then they get the conference championship game. Now, I am told the voting goes out after the conference championship game that weekend. So Marcel's got two big games to prove himself to be in that Heisman – well, he's already in the Heisman conversation, but be at the top. So I think he gets an invite to New York. Interesting more for us here in Nashville, we were looking, and if you might know better more than this, but I only know one guy from Middle Tennessee – that we've looked up, and I don't consider Johnny Majors part of, I'm talking like surrounding counties of like Nashville per se, that's been in the Heisman Trophy voting. Golden Tate from Pope John High School went to Notre Dame, came in 10th in 2009 in the Heisman Trophy voting. Now, are we leaving somebody out from Nashville in the surrounding counties? I know Johnny Majors.
Was Cutler ever in the discussion?
No, not at all. No, that was 2005.
And then I'm trying to think of people from here. I don't think so.
For Tennessee football, I mean, nobody that's calls Nashville home, per se. None of that. And it's funny, too. Here's the 2009 Heisman. You know who won it in 2009?
Sam Bradford?
Mark Ingram. Second, Toby Gerhart. Third, Colt McCoy. Fourth, Ndamukong Suh. Fifth, Tim Tebow. Here's where it gets funny. Sixth, C.J. Spiller. Seventh, Kellen Moore. Eighth, Case Keenum. Nine, now Ricky probably heard of this guy. I never did. Marty Gilvard from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
At wide receiver. And 10th was Golden Tate that year. So as far as – but so this would be great for Nashville.
Yeah.
And for Marcel and Rod and the family and the NBA family if Marcel could do this. Remember, he was committed to Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. And then he changed.
Jimbo changed that mind, got him down there. And I'm so glad Jimbo's gone because now Marcel's thriving. But that'd be really cool to see a guy from Nashville not only go to New York but walk away with the Heisman Trophy.
Here are the remaining schedules for all four of these teams, for the four top four Heisman, odds favorites is what I'm trying to say. All right, here's Ohio State. This weekend they're at Purdue, then UCLA, Rutgers at Michigan.
Man, Michigan's a good one.
Yep, but they probably run the table.
Yeah.
Indiana is at Penn State, Wisconsin at Purdue.
Well, they're better than all three of those. They should win.
Yep. Now, the vote would be after the championship game?
Yes, sir.
So Indiana and Ohio State play each other. So that game could be for the Heisman.
Okay.
Something to keep in mind. Ty Simpson, what he has left. LSU, Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, at Auburn.
Ooh, he's got Oklahoma. Well, LSU's a big game. It's going to be on TV and national TV, but Oklahoma.
I think Oklahoma is a tough one. It's at home, but that's a good tough one.
So he's got a chance to prove himself, okay.
And then Marcel in Texas A&M, at Missouri, South Carolina, Samford, at Texas.
Well, only one of those is going to get him tough. That's Samford.
Samford, yeah.
He's got to, I mean, South Carolina is going to be 80,000 screaming people. I mean, that's not easy to win there. I know Oklahoma did.
Well, South Carolina's at home.
Yeah, I know. That's still loud. I mean, Williams, Bryce Stadium, if it ain't swaying, we ain't playing.
No, I'm saying it's at Texas A&M. Oh,
damn you. Okay, yes. The cop filled. Man, I was about to go in a whole diatribe about South Carolina.
He's got two road games left. This weekend at Mizzou and then at Texas.
Great. That's two. I like that. Two good chances, especially Texas.
Yeah. Okay. I think Marcel has just as good of a – I mean, they're undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bama, I just, for some reason, I feel like Bama has a slip up somewhere other than Florida State.
No, sir. I'm telling you. I picked them, and I was wrong at the beginning of the season because Florida State beat them. But they went on an unprecedented run in SEC football history,
knocking
off four top 20 teams back to back to back to back. And then they had
– I forgot how close that Missouri game was.
And then South Carolina threw everything at them, everything, and they won that game. Well, in the Missouri game, we were in Vegas when that was going on. Missouri took the opening kickoff and just punched it in their face and went down the field. Alabama was reeling, and we came back later. I'm like, Alabama won that game? I mean, that's a good football team.
We'll ask our next guest about young Marcel Reed. He knows him very well.
He does, doesn't he?
From the Montgomery Bell Academy. Chris Sanders will join us coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe here on this Friday on 102.5 The Game.